Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are in Romans chapter 15, so if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll start on verse 16. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus and the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have preached the gospel of Christ. So I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And to those who have not heard, shall understand. Father, that's our prayer this morning, is to understand. To understand and to go forth, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. Standing, Lord, that you are the one that uses us. Are we available? And are we going? Bless our time together, Father. Again, encourage us. The truth of your word and the truth of your love this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is winding down his epistle. In winding down, he's clarifying that he's going to make it to them. But he starts off and says that I might minister. Be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. That word minister can mean minister servant to a king, but it also can mean a servant as a priest. Jesus is our king and our high priest. Therefore, all things he had made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our King. He is also our high priest. He's our mediator. He's the one that has bridged the gap between us and God. But here's the thing. Did you not know that we too now are called priests? Peter says it this way. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And get this, fast forward into Revelation. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. You, my friends, are priests. Every one of you. And you are royalty. That sink in for a second. Believers serving God through Jesus Christ, our King and High Priest. Paul served by sharing the gospel of God to the Gentiles. His offering to the Lord was to the Gentiles that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, making them acceptable, making them sanctified, made them holy by the Holy Spirit. For just in this verse, take these three things I want you to look at. Three things quickly. First of all, we just said it. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ to share the gospel of God. Number two, those who receive it is our offering to the Lord. And number three, did you catch wind of this? Let's look at verse 16 one more time. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Notice the Trinity. Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, it's something we have to continue to emphasize here, is God desires to have fellowship with each of us. It's something we all have to learn and go through, is to understand that we walk by faith, not by sight. That He is there with you. That He does desire to teach, to speak, and to minister in and through each of us. Look at verse 17. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus and the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. Paul understood this fully. He thanked God through Jesus Christ that he enlisted or enabled him to be counted faithful to be a minister of his when he was formerly a blasphemer. In fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. And yet he understood that even though he was against Christ's church, even though he was a blasphemer, even though he was unfaithful to these truths, that God had called him, that God in his mercy and grace has chosen him to be a servant of the living God. But wait a minute, we understand that about ourselves too. There's none of us that are worthy here. There's none of us that are wise. We're the foolish ones of the world. We're the weak things of the world. And yet God has chosen us too to be what? To be royalty, to be ministers of His word, of His gospel, of His truth. Now that's not really an uplifting thing to say. What would it be in our vernacular? You and I are all losers. You're a loser. There's nothing good in you. Stop looking for it. And yet, I got good news. God chose the losers of the world to confound the winners. Now, I know that might sound kind of like, well, let's understand the bigger scope of this. The bigger scope is where everybody in this world is a loser when it comes to sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's funny because we always lift up these actors, these stars, these athletes, the rich, whatever, the ones that have the fast life, that have the jets, have the 3, 4, 5 houses all over the world. We think those are the winners. I was just reading something this morning about Kevin Bacon. He still doesn't feel like he's a success. He still feels like he's like a C-lister, that he is a nobody. He's just this close to being falling off and everybody would forget about him. And here's this guy that was at 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon or whatever. Here's a guy that you all know. Oh, yes, you do. Footloose and Fancy or whatever that movie was. It's something that you'd see. Oh, there's Kevin Bacon. You know who that is. And yet the reality is he has nothing. 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 But here's the good news too with us. If we grab hold of this, if we can understand something, if we can accept ourselves, listen to this, please, because this is, I'm talking to myself too. Because this is something everybody on this earth struggles with. Like I said, Kevin Bacon. That you and I desire to be taller or handsomer or prettier or more intelligent or more articulate in our speaking or more successful, doing something else than what you're doing. You kids, you want to be an athlete, most of you, or an actor, or somebody that people would know who you are. When you walked in the room, they would say, hey, there's Aiden Plattner. Wow, let's go get his autograph. You would think that's cool. You would think that's great. You would think that's wonderful. But the reality is, most of you aren't going to be famous. Thank God. Because it's pseudo. It's false. Hear me, especially you young people. If you can accept your height, if you can accept your intelligence, if you can accept who you are as you are right now, with this understanding, grown-ups too, for us, is God made you the way you are because He has a plan. God doesn't want you to look at yourself because you know what you are to God? His creation. It would be like if I went to Yellowstone and I started critiquing Yellowstone. I can't believe that mountain's there. Why didn't He put it over here? Look at this stream. Man, I would have made it a little wider, maybe a little accessible. Look at this. There's the cliff here or whatever. That's what we do with ourselves. And yet, see, the reality is God wants us to come to the conclusion that apart from Him, you and I are nothing. But guess what? Because we knew we were nothing, we came to Christ. And because we came to Christ, guess what? He says, now you were a nobody, now you're a somebody, and I'm calling you kings and priests. That you have access to me, that you have the ability to have fellowship with me. You are my children. And I have put my name upon you. That's why Paul understood this, and that's why Paul was able to say, even though I prayed for this to depart from me, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, he understood something. Because God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you come, when you and I come to the conclusion that I am nothing, that I am weak, but I don't focus on me and what I lack. Instead, I focus on Him who lacks nothing. He says, I have a plan for you. And in your flesh, you may not like it. But let me tell you something. I see you so much far better than you'll ever imagine in your mind. And really the best thing, if we can all grab hold of it, is that we do have daily access and fellowship with God. Each of us. So I want you to notice these things. These three things, we'll go over them quickly. Like Paul, we too what? We boast in who? Ourselves? No. We boast what Christ has done for us. And through us. That in itself. Who do you boast about? Who are you most proud of? Who fills your words? And for who? Paul understood this. He says, I will boast to nobody, no one else, not myself, only in Christ. God forbid that I should glory than anything else except the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. This is not our home. Oh, if we had more people, including ourselves, that would get a hold of this. This is not our home. This is not the finished product. I am made for only for Him. Because most of us make plans without Him, don't we? And then we hope He blesses it. Oh, bless me, Lord. As I do this, as I strive for that, rather than say, Lord, here am I. Everything that I am, I'm yours. And everything that I have is yours. Now, understanding, look at verse of 18 now. Let's finish it. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word. Indeed. So really what we're getting here is a picture of something, isn't it? We're seeing how he shared his faith. See, what he did was he told others about what Christ did through him. What Christ has done. But also we see that he shares the word of God. Want to know how to witness to somebody? What has God done for you? What words in God's book has ministered most to you? And the third, if you notice, it's deed, word and deed. Are you living what you're learning? Are you living an authentic Christian life? And you say, but who is? Well, it's as we learn, we share. It's a blessing I have. What I learn, I share. Doesn't mean I master it. But what ministers to me usually comes out. That's why I preach on grace a lot. I need God's grace. I don't know about you all, but I need God's grace every day. I need His mercy. I need to understand that He loves me. He loves me. What you learn, what He teaches you, that's what you share. It's authentic. It's real. That's why we're not judgmental. You shouldn't be. Judge not, lest ye be judged. But it's to share what you know to be true and to live out. It doesn't mean we're perfect. That when we fail, it's just like in front of our children or our friends, what do? We ask them for forgiveness. See, I grew up in a culture that a man did not apologize for anything. You never said the word sorry. I remember when I started walking with the Lord, I started using the word sorry with my family and my friends, and they'd go, what? You're not supposed to say that. To own up to that? No, because I started learning something. What was it? There's somebody else that I answer to. There's somebody else that I want to stay close to. And I understood something early on that when I separated myself from Him, it was my sin and I did not ask for forgiveness. I was losing. So again, what do we see? We see Paul sharing only what Christ has done through him. We see also that he shares the Word of God. We see also that he shares what he's living out. He's authentic. What does this do? He makes the Gentiles obedient. What does that mean? It means they're submitted. They're compliant. They're obedient. They've come to faith. It's real to them. As Paul was sharing these things, as he was living them out, it was touching other people. And they were coming to Christ. And you want to know something? You want to know what you take to heaven with you? It's not the clothes on your back. It's not that second house that you're dreaming of. It's not that fancy car. It's not that high profile life you desire. Nope, it's only one thing you bring. Not just yourself, but those that you shared with. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? That's it. But you want to know something? There's nothing greater, nothing better. Now listen, as we're learning these things, there's things that we can take to heart too. See, the word that you share too, is a lot of you, is to your kids. You're all evangelists. Whether you thought about it or not, you are. You speak to your children. You teach and speak to your friends. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are a walking witness. You are a priest of God. You are royalty. Do you want to be somebody that wants to really walk around this world with confidence? Then understand something. The God that has created everything created you. And He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, that now He calls you a child of God. But that's not all. He calls you kings and priests of His. But that's not all. He says, everything around you, this whole world, I give to you. But wait a minute. No, later, when I come to reign, you reign with me. And it's all yours. And wait a minute. When this earth dissolves, you will not be able to even imagine what I have prepared for you in the next place. So when you walk around, when you're walking on the beach, if you go to Malibu, Hawaii, Honolulu, wherever you go to, understand something. You might look up there and see this big, beautiful house. And you go, wow, that'd be really neat to live there. Forget about that. You walk on and go, my father owns this. And I'll get to share it with him one day. Wherever it is, wherever you go, this is my Father's world. And it's His. And He's given it to us. That in itself should make us stop. Take a deep sigh. It's going to be okay. Look at verse 19. as he's going, as he's sharing in word and deed to make Gentiles come to faith, look at this, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you go, wait a minute. Hold the phone. What are you talking about? No signs and wonders have ever come by me. Hold on. First of all, Jesus says this. He says, signs and wonders will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in tongues. See, what he's saying is this. As you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. And as you're going, signs and wonders follow you. Hold that thought. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know it. Jesus told his disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He's saying that the Holy Spirit would now come inside us and alongside us and upon us, and what he would do is he would share the testimony of what I was and who I am now. My wife has a beautiful testimony. You know what her testimony is? Very simple. All I know is what I was before Christ and who I am now. And I take what I am now so much farther than I would ever take what I was. There's a change in my life, and I know that it's real. It's real. And it's the most wonderful, most powerful experience anyone could ever understand. But hear this. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to be witnesses of this truth. Do you know why more signs and wonders aren't happening in the church? I'll give you a few reasons. One is because of pride in us as individuals. We want to say, look at me. God's using me. Let me pray for you, brother. Let me pray for you, sister. Because again, we always come to ourselves and say, look at me. God's Spirit will not share his glory with any other. Oh, where are those that would just say, God, just use me. Let me just step back and you do what you need to do. I'll give you the glory, the honor. I will take none of it. I don't want any of it. I just want to see you move. I want to see you move in my generation. I want to see you move in this world. I want to see you in such a powerful way that you, Lord, would be glorified, that your name would be uplifted, that everyone wouldn't look at the stupid church and how we keep failing you, but they would start seeing the church as she was supposed to be, the bride of Christ, that she is just a reflection of Jesus Christ. She's not an entity by herself. She's an entity that, again, reflects the Lord. That's so important for any church and every church. As we come here together, we're giving glory to God, not ourselves. But what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. Listen, not for the warm fuzzies, not for the experience. The empowering, confidence in him. And no matter what you face, he goes with you to be a witness for him. A witness, a testimony to him. Power of his Spirit impacts, divides, becomes real in people's lives as his children go forth with one purpose, to be his priests and his children. Understand then, the Holy Spirit comes, empowers us, and you say, but I have no ability. I can't do these things. What are you talking about? Well, listen. Listen to what Jesus said again. He said he's come to what? To bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. As you read his word, as you let it penetrate your heart, God's Spirit says, I got it now. You got it. So now I can use it through you because now you've taken it. And you've learned and you've grown. And I'll bring it to remembrance when you need it. I will empower you to speak. And I'll give you the words to say. Are we going? Fully preach the gospel. Listen to Paul again. And mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. But wait a minute. How did he fully preach the gospel? He's just, you know, what did he do? He just went into he's talking about a 1,400 square mile area here. And you're like, he's one man. Remember something, we forget this. He didn't get on Amtrak. He didn't get on a bus. He didn't have a car to drive around. He didn't have a chauffeur. He didn't sit back with a chariot driver going onward, forward. No, most of it, he walked or he was on a ship. And these 1,400 miles, really most of it was walking in sandals. And we're not talking about a nice paved road. We're talking rocky roads. Yes, there were brick roads in some of it, but not a lot of it. A lot of it was just dirt and rock. But how did he fully preach? What he would do is he would go to a strategic area, wherever the Holy Spirit led him, and then he would lead a few people to Christ. And from that, he would build a fellowship. But it's not like he stayed there. Only a few times he stayed for other reasons too. But what he did was when he shared their faith and he made sure that there was somebody that fully understood it, that he would take in charge, elders, leaders. But see, the thing is, then he'd leave. Yes, he wrote epistles. He instructed. So did Peter. So did John. But see, what would happen was, why they grew in numbers. It wasn't because Paul was having these big evangelistic meetings. No, he would go to the synagogue. He would go to the people. Yes, there would be crowds at times. Most of the time, there wasn't. And get that church solid. And guess what would happen? He would go away and start another church. And he'd go back and say, whoa, this church is this big now? Why? Because those believers went out and shared what God has done to them. That's how a church grows, is people going out and sharing their faith, sharing the truth. And I don't just mean this body. I mean God's church, the bride of Christ. It grows as you and I go out and share. And again, you probably suck in wind going, oh, that's just not my personality. Did I mention the Holy Spirit? Do you want to see the Holy Spirit work? Get going. But I'm scared. I know. He doesn't want you to depend on yourself. And he doesn't want you forcing down doors. Just this morning, I told you there's a lady that I'm starting to talk to. I wasn't able to go to for a couple, 3 weeks or so, but she was there this morning. I sat there and I talked to her and stood there and talked to her for 30 minutes. And I was praying, Lord, is there a way that I access the any witnessing here today? Nope, there wasn't. And you know what I understood? Not today, but you know what? I'm building a relationship. Talking to her. It's all I'm doing. I don't feel like I have to build it down. Let me tell you something. Whenever I felt like I forced sharing my faith, I knew it. But when I just let the Lord take control and just say, just show me the access. Give me the words to say. Give me the ear to listen. It just comes out naturally. Do they all come to faith? No. But I know I cast the seed. I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And I walk away. Just to share what God has done in your life. Just to share what He's doing in your life. Just to share with confidence what you have in Him. Goes a long way right now in this world. Look at verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. See, I've already covered this area and the churches are spreading out and they're doing what they're supposed to do. Now, I want to go where it hasn't been heard so I can start it again. Other places, this place, that they'd come to Christ, that they would come to faith. So understand something. Are we going to places where they have not heard the gospel? Now, I know we're living in America here, and we'll talk about missionaries next week. But this is just really where there's not a Christian. It's like this person is not a Christian. They're everywhere. The old saying is, you throw a rock, you'll hit a dozen of them. Don't throw it. Don't literally do that, guys. I'm just kidding. But the truth is, they're everywhere. Are we sensitive to that? Do we really want to see what God would do in and through each of us as priests? Did I mention that? You're all priests. You thought I was? Nah, you are too. We're all servants of the King. We're all servants of the High Priest. Look at verse 21. We'll finish with this. But as is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. You may not see an external sign, wonder, or miracle. Not all do. Do you realize that John the Baptist was called the greatest of the prophets? Do you also understand he never performed a sign or a miracle? See, the greatest sign, the greatest wonder, the greatest miracle is that when we share our faith, we see that they see and understand and they come to Christ Jesus. That's the greatest miracle. And as you're going, signs and wonders follow. Never, you'll never hear me in this church ever say, because I'll never, ever put God in a box. I'll never say that these signs and wonders and miracles were for a different time, because I will not limit God. Who's to say God won't do something? And he still does, which we'll talk about next week. So is the understanding of what? Very simply, to share my faith, I share what God has done in and through and for me. It's to share the Word of God. It's to share what I'm living out and what I'm learning. It's also indeed in the sense of just doing acts of kindness, goodness. It's knowing that God's Spirit empowers me. He gives me the words to speak. It brings them to remembrance of things that He's taught me. All He desires of me is to go, go, go. So that's what Jesus said to His disciples. He didn't say, hey, sit around here, guys, and, you know, have a click here. He did say, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then He says, go. Throughout the world, go. Tell them about me. Share to them about me. But do we ever have that openness to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm a fool. I'm weak. Sometimes I stumble over my words. Use me. We want to see God move. It's important for us to move. But remember something. God's grace. It's God's love. How true is it in your life? Then share it. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning. Just thank you, Lord, again, for your blessedness of being with us. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that you, again, keep spurring us on, stirring us on, guiding us on. We pray, Father, as we hear these words, that we would just be open to your Spirit. I pray, too, that the parents here would understand that they are teaching their children about who you are and how to share their faith by just how they're living it out in front of them. Lord, we all need your grace. We all need your mercy. We all need your love. But Lord, I pray for us as a congregation, we would continue to remember these truths so that we can share, Lord, what you are pouring into us. Lord, as we sit here and just drink of your word, we do hear, we do chew and meditate, we do grow. Lord, help us not be stagnant. Help us to just be open to the movement of your Spirit in our lives daily so that you, Lord, again may be lifted up. Lifted up for all to see your grace and mercy through the cross. So, Lord, again, just thank you for this morning. And Lord, I do. I just want to pray, Father, that you'd bless our fellowship together after this. I lift these things up to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.